Stephanie McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and we're going to be joined by Peter DePalma in a second here. A couple of announcements. First and foremost, I got a note when I arrived today asking for prayers for Sister Denise Haviland, a Dominican sister who is in the last stages of her life. So I ask all our prayer warriors to keep Sister Denise Haviland in your prayers. Coming up on Tuesday, October the 17th, will be our annual golf outing, one of the two major fundraisers we have each year. And whatever you can do to help support us in that effort, we'll be at a new venue this year, Talamore Country Club in Ambler, Pennsylvania. And it will be on a Tuesday this year. It's always been on a Monday, but with the change in venue, there's also a change in day. It'll be Tuesday, October the 17th. You can download the flyer on our website at inhissign.com. Scroll to the bottom of the page, and you will be able to download a brochure. It has all the information in it about playing golf and the sponsorship opportunities. Yours truly will be there, God willing. Last year, first one I missed in quite a few years as I was in the hospital having my appendix out, and fully recovered and ready to go out there and whack that little white ball around again. So looking forward to it. Without any further ado, I am joined by Peter DePalma, all the way from Uncletown, Pennsylvania, up there off of Route 33, north of Bethlehem and Easton. And we'll be talking about the gift of the divine will. Welcome back, Peter. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Ken, very much for this opportunity. Thanks to In This Sign for this opportunity, because, again, it doesn't get any better than this. And I'm so glad when you had your surgery that they did not take anything you needed, Ken. So thank God you came what you didn't need. So it's always a good.
All good. Well, I needed a follow up a few months later, but fortunately that came out fine as well. But yeah, all things considered, really never been better, and a lot of that is because of learning about this gift of the divine will, and being able to have experiences with yourself and Father Celso, Father Iannuzzi, Sister Francesca, who we've had on, Mother Gabriel, and you know, the number of people are far more experienced and knowledgeable of this gift than I am. And so I've benefited immensely from that. And I think as I've learned, we're helping our listeners learn as well. And I know we get an influx on this last Wednesday of the month. We want to say hello to all our members of the Morning Glory Divine Will Cenacle. We do meet every morning now at 6 a.m., before it was Monday through Friday, and now we're meeting on Saturday and Sunday as well. But Monday through Friday, we start with about 15 or 20 minutes of prayer, and then go into the readings of the Book of Heaven, reading them in order from volume 1 to 36. And on Saturday and Sunday, we have started to pray the rounds. And on Saturday, we pray the first 12 rounds, and the Monday, rounds 13 to 24. As written by Louisa Picaretta, and just a great way to live life. And so today, Peter and I chatted briefly beforehand, and we're going to talk a little bit about these things called the rounds. And, you know, Peter, when I first heard, you know, the term thrown around, and it was rounds, and then you'd read various parts of the Book of Heaven where Louisa would write, you know, during my rounds today, or I was doing my rounds, and I'm like, the only time I ever heard rounds was in the idea of a hospital where, you know, a doctor would make his rounds and visit all his patients. And this is similar in a very small way, but when we make our rounds, it's unbelievable the things that we're capable of doing in the divine will. And to be around, able to go back and go through all of God's wonderful creation, right? You all right, brother?
Yeah, I'm just you know, choking on myself here, but I think I feel okay. What you're saying about the rounds is really incredible. What you know, when you give the analogy about the doctor, it's very similar to that. You know, it's not, you know, really, it's just, you know, it's first, I think that what the divine will does is, again, it explicates everything. You know, God says, he says that everything he's given to the world has had as its primary purpose to bring everyone back to the gift of living the divine will. And first, I want to talk about, you know, God's mysterious permissible will. That's really important. You know, you mentioned about when you had your surgery and you had some downtime. That wasn't by chance. You know, God gives us downtime because we need to recalculate, recalibrate what we're being taught and what we're learning, and we're pushing out the old and bringing in the new. You had that opportunity, and I think you look back now and say, "Wow, I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't have that experience." I had the same thing in 2017. I think I told you the story. I was on my way to my daughter's wedding to the church a mile and a half from my house. And I hydroplaned and hit a pole and was hospitalized for nearly 3 months. I almost died, actually. And the recuperation process took altogether about 8 months. But in that 8 months, I had time where I was just reading. I was just meditating. I was just thanking God for the opportunity to live that he gave me. And again, without that accident, without God's mysterious permissible will, I would have lost those 8 months. And without those 8 months, I wouldn't be where I am now. Now, I'm not saying I'm far along the totem pole. I'm not. But I'm a lot further than I would be if I didn't have that experience. So again, we don't go into an accident on purpose to do that. But again, God's permissible will, he allows uncomfortable events to happen. And he always states that he will bring a greater good if we cooperate with him. And I think you are experienced that. And I think I experienced it as well. But the rounds itself, you know, Ken, we sometimes complicate it. I mean, basically, the rounds are just giving love back to God. God is constantly giving love to us. Even after the fall of Adam, he never stopped giving the creatures, us, love. We just stopped acknowledging him. And, you know, one of the explications that the Book of Heaven does, and again, explication doesn't change anything. It doesn't add to it, but rather makes it better understood. In fact, it's even in our catechism. It's Article 66, which states, I'll try to quote as best I can. It states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the future generations to better understand what has already been given, end quote. And that's what's happening in the Book of Heaven. For example, what does God want? Why is he giving us this gift? What, I mean, I had someone call me once, I think from New York, said, hey, Pete, What's God's game? What's in it for him? I mean, what's he doing here? Well, basically, he spells it out in different passages within the volumes. I'd like to cite a little bit, if I would, from volume 35, January 10th, 1938. This gives us a sense of really what God wants. And see, once we know what God wants, it's easier to deliver what he wants because we're not questioning and we're not constantly fighting ourselves. Okay, does he want this? Does he want that? So in this volume, Jesus states, quote, now, my dear children, he's speaking to all of us. Do you know what this celestial father wants from you? He wants to be recognized in you as having his dwelling in the center of your soul. And since he gives you everything, nor is there anything he does not give you, he wants your love in everything you do. Love him. Let love never depart from your little hearts, from your lips, from your works, from everything. And this shall be the delicious food you shall give to his paternity. He loves you very much and wants you to be loved. No one can arrive at loving you as he loves you. End quote. So how do we do that? Well, God does explain through Louise. He gives her a sort of a format as to what to do, but that's an example. Well, we can mimic that. We can replicate that. But God is looking for us to recognize him in everything. Again, he states that all of creation was created for our benefit, to be able to see everything around us and to recognize God. Now, we see God in the tree. That doesn't mean we see God's face in the tree trunk. Necessarily, you might, but you probably won't. But we see God's majesty in the creation of that tree and the berries it has and the fruit it may have, whatever it is. God is looking for us to acknowledge that and to acknowledge him as the giver of that. And we, you know, think about it, Ken. We have that opportunity in every waking and actually every sleeping hour we have. Everything we do, we get in the car. Thank you, Lord, for this car that I have to drive to work, to wherever I'm going. Thank you, Lord, for the blue sky. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. Thank you for the tremendous snow you just gave us. It doesn't matter what is thrown at us. Everything is a blessing. And God just wants us to recognize that and to give God back the thanksgiving that he doesn't get. Remember, he gives examples of that also in scripture. Just one quick one example is the 10 lepers, right? One came back and said, thank you, Lord, for healing me. And Jesus turns around and says, wait a minute, weren't there 10? Where are the other nine? That's one example. Again, we take things for granted, just waking up. I mean, I use this silly phrase going into every program. I say, grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. Think about it. How many times do we wake up out of our bed, whether we're late, we're on time, or we're feeling good, we're not feeling good, doesn't matter. We woke up, we awakened. Many did not awaken from that sleep. We were in a coma state or a coma-like state for 6, 7, or 8 hours, and then all of a sudden we wake up. First thing we should do is say, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to open my eyes, to open my mouth, to get out of bed. And then from that point, we do our preventing act, which again, you can do an impromptu one, or you can use the one, I like the one that Father Iannuzzi developed. It takes 3 minutes to pray. And you know, when I think about it, is when you wake up out of this slumber, is 3 minutes of thanksgiving too much to give to our Lord, who is giving us 24 hours in that day that he just woke us up into? Again, it's a paradigm shift. It's a thinking differently. It's not just using the big events to thank God. It's thanking God in every little thing, because it's the little things that we have abundance in. And it's those little things, Jesus tells us, that help us to understand, reflect, and appreciate when we get those big gifts. It's beautiful. It's simple.
Absolutely, Peter. And you know my background with being in recovery. And we talk to folks all the time about gratitude and thanking God. And it is in the little things. Like you say, it's real easy to thank God for, you know, real significant things. But something as simple as, waking up in the morning, being able to, I actually have my own teeth that I can brush. Every waking moment, there's something that I can be thankful for. And I definitely see the difference, because when you have that attitude of gratitude, as we call it, that it just changes your perspective on everything, because you realize that it's not you. Yeah. That everything that's going on around us, the gifts that we have, the life itself is all a gift from God. And when we recognize it that way and thank God for it, it just changes our whole perspective on life. And right. And just before we get too far, because we are back in the studio, we are able to take phone calls. So if anybody cares to call in, chime in, you can reach us at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. If you want to call in with a comment or a question, we'll do our best to answer your question.
Right.
And certainly, Peter on the line, you got a much better chance of getting a good answer than if it was me by myself.
Yeah, I'd be so sure of that.
Your point, when you mentioned the Prevenient Act that Father Iannuzzi has, and one of the things I picked up a few months ago was this nice, thick, green book, I don't know, some 700 pages, I think, called the Divine Will Prayer Book. And it's got the various prayers that were given to Louisa, whether it was the rounds that we're talking about, the hours of the Passion, the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, and just wonderful insights into life. But in starting to do the rounds with our Senecal a few weeks ago, Father Iannuzzi's got a great introduction to the rounds. And, it reawakened me to that idea of the prelapsarian Adam, that that this is where everything is headed. And you see what's going on in these crazy times of ours. You're listening to Father Celso recently at his retreat in Rome City, Indiana, and even a couple of phone calls that some local folks here have made to him, trying to nail down a date for a retreat next year. And Father Celso just keeps saying, everything's going to be different. Everything's going to be different. Won't give us a date. And so, when I first heard about this concept of the prelapsarian Adam, it's like, That could never be. But the more you read the Book of Heaven, and especially in praying the rounds and realizing what it was that Adam had. And I've said this to a number of people that, you know, when I would read Genesis, it was like, you know, God created Adam on day six. He took a break on day seven, and day eight, Adam threw it all away. And we don't know how long that period was. It could have been, you know, hundreds of days, thousands of days that God and Adam and Eve walked together in the garden. But on November 10th, 1927, in volume 23, Father Iannuzzi included this in its introduction to the rounds. He says, "He, Adam, would not have been a true king had he not known all of the dominion he exercised, or had he not possessed the right to place his acts in all things created by us. With the power of our divine fiat, he did whatever he desired. He bilocated his soul in all created things. And if he spoke, loved, adored, or worked, his voice resounded throughout the entire cosmos and filled it with his love, adoration, and works. That is why the divinity felt the love, adoration, and work of its firstborn son and all of its work." And Peter, you read that, and it's like, we can do the same thing, that when we pray these rounds, when we go back and we place ourselves in creation, and the creation of the sun and the moon and the heavens and the earth, and eventually into the creatures and into man, and then Jesus's life and all these little things, we get to, you know, praise God and thank God and give it all back to God. And to your point in the passage that you read earlier, that's all he's asked for the last 6,000 years. Maybe not as plainly as he does in the Book of Heaven, but he's certainly been asking for it.
Right. But because if you think about it, Ken, our job, why we're created, we're here to repair and redo. We're here. You mentioned Adam. You're right on point. We are to pick up where Adam left off, because Adam did not complete what he set out to do. Again, there was that void that God created in Adam. And then there's two voids, actually. There's a good void and a bad void. I'm going to talk about the good void. The good void is just this space, this open space in our soul to house God. It's the most elastic thing in the universe, because how much space do you need to house God? I mean, there's a hard drive that can hold it. So God gives us that void and allows it to expand, but it's not filled. So what did Adam do all day long? Well, we know through the Book of Heaven that he made the rounds. He was praising, honoring, glorifying God, adoring God in everything and all of creation. That was his job. That was his total happiness. See, we find happiness in other venues, but they're fleeting. They're momentary. This happiness that he had was beyond happiness. It's actually a joy. See, a joy, I think, is all-encompassing. Happiness can be, I think happiness is included in joy, but I think the joy he had was all the time. And that's all he did. And we're called to do the same thing. And that doesn't mean neglect our other responsibilities, because God knows we have those also. We have to do those. But it's just picking up really where Adam left off. And that passage was absolutely beautiful. And, you know, it really comes down to this, Ken. It comes down to what Jesus said many times in Scripture. Faith. When someone was healed, it's your faith that's healed you. Will I return? Will I find faith? Faith is what he's looking for. That's how we can give his paternity back. That's how we can give his love back. And through this gift of the divine will, we have to have faith. I mean, the church has examined this. They found no errors. We're waiting for the critical edition. The typical edition has already been generated 2 years ago. It's here. This is the summation of everything that God has done. And he's told us that. Again, do we believe this to be true, or is this just another novel? Well, let's look at something really quickly in volume 14. Again, in the Italian translation, this passage has the church's imprimatur and nihil obstat. The church found nothing wrong with this statement. And this is what Jesus says, quote, "Therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments that I instituted, the many graces given to my saints, have been the seeds, the means, the way in which to let man reach this possession of my divine will," end quote. Many people have difficulty with that. What do you mean the sacraments are just a means? He's saying they're basically a stepping stone. Well, that's what they are. look at the Eucharist, which is the divine will. And the church says, for as long as that host, is in his form, God is there fully, the full divine will, for the 15 or 20 minutes until it dissolves. The divine will is greater because it's that same divine will in the Eucharist, but on a perennial basis. So what's greater, the divine will for 15 or 20 minutes or forever? Of course, that's where we get into the argument sometimes. When someone hears that Jesus says, well, Jesus said the divine will is greater than the Eucharist, how can that be? That's blasphemy. No, it's not. It's not God versus God, not God greater than God. What's greater, 15 to 20 minutes of this gift of gifts, or a perennial gift that never leaves us? That's the delineation there. And that's beautiful. And again, the church found nothing wrong with that. There are no errors that the church found. Now, there are some ambiguities that they have to clarify. They need a theologian to really develop a projection, a way to disseminate this to the faithful. That's what they're working on right now. Nothing is wrong. They're just waiting for the opportunity to have everything set and situated so they can give this to the faithful. It's coming. It's coming. But in the process, it's here right now. You mentioned the Divine Will Prayer Book by Father Annuzzi. Great. It has all of Father Annuzzi's translations. Remember, all the imprimaturs and nihil obstats are in the Italian translation. There is no imprimatur for an English translation. It has not been done yet. But the caveat, or the workaround, so to speak, is to have a bona fide theologian do a translation. And that is exactly what Father Annuzzi's done. He's used his translation. He's used his footnotes. He's used his summary. And again, in the Divine Will Prayer Book, it's similar to his doctoral dissertation, which received abrogation, which is the scholastic word of approval, by the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See. So Father Annuzzi, until we have this critical edition, has summarized everything for us in the proper theological context, developed and embedded in our Catholic faith. It's a book you really want to have. It makes everything come to the surface. And that's all this is. This is very, very simple. We have to believe this. Many say, well, this can't be true. No, nothing new is going to happen. There's no new public revelations. No, it's not new. It's a better understanding. And then even the Catechism goes even further. Again, the Catechism is perfectly poised for this. Article 67, the next article, states the role of the mystic. The role of the mystic is not to complete public revelation, not to add to it, nor delete it, but to help us better understand it in a particular period of time. Again, a better understanding of what's already been given. And Father gives us a great example, not to get too long-winded here again. Father Annuzzi gives us a great example. Let's say the Catholic Church is this flower. We've been looking at this flower for 2,000 years. We have memorized it. We know everything to do about this flower. Now, all of a sudden, the divine will comes, and it's as if someone has handed us a magnifying glass. Now, look at that same flower. What do you see? You see so much more. You see the fuzz on the petals. You see the photosynthesis in the veins and the leaves. All this is new, but it always was there. It was all seminal form. That's exactly what the articles are talking about. It's there. Everything needed for our salvation is there. Now we're understanding it. Now we're able to respond to God in the way God wants us to respond.
Now, and when you read the book, at times it can be a little bit difficult. It really helps us in our cynical to have Deacon John Thompson with us, who's been studying this for over 30 years. But, it's in some ways a self-explanatory, and it just makes, perfect sense as Jesus tries to explain things to Louisa as part of their meetings, for lack of a better word, Jesus lays it out simply for Louisa, and even, Louisa will have questions and go back and ask Jesus what he means by certain things, and he's more than happy to further explain it. And, we've had that over the centuries through the various mystics and, the miraculous medal, the Sacred Heart devotions, Divine Mercy and Sister Faustina, all these things, came about much the same way as people are learning about the Book of Heaven through Louisa. And it's certainly starting to catch on. I was surprised, part of the what happened here at the studio when they were cleaning out, because we had to completely empty the studio And there were, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of books laying around for the, you know, that were accumulated over the last 40 years. And in there was a book actually signed by Father Iannuzzi and given to the founder of Innisfail Catholic Radio, Dom Lettieri. And so Dom, apparently years ago, had been aware of and had been in touch with Father Iannuzzi regarding this gift of the divine will. And that was probably 30 years ago. And I don't know how often it's been mentioned on this radio apostolate since then, but for the last year or so, we've been talking about it. And just in the 18 months or so that I've been, you know, plugged in and as to into this gift and learning about it, finding that you know, there's thousands of people out there, you know, that the retreat that they had at the beginning of July at Malvern, where they, you know, signed up over 300 people in 8 days and had a waiting list of 125, you know, showed how this is really starting to grow. And, you know, and it's not growing because there's commercials on TV or a whole lot of priests talking about it from the pulpit. This is, I don't like using the word, but it's like a grassroots movement. This is coming up through the laity that are spreading the word amongst each other. I think more and more priests are starting to get on board. You know, there's some great people that are out there trying to get the writings into the hands of some priests, because they, to your point, they are going to be needed, because people are going to have questions, and we need authoritative answers, not a, you know, an answer that I come up with, or even you that have been at this for quite a while, but that authoritative voice that comes from the priest. But just in the, you know, the 18 to 20 months that I've been learning about this, I'm finding people everywhere that have, you know, knowledge of it, some looking to get more involved. I had a woman call me this week. She's been doing it on her own now for quite a while. And, you know, how do I do this with other people? I need to do this with others. I can't keep doing it by myself. And even you, you know, was plugged in on Saturday, and we're bringing it to Nome, Alaska now, via Nome Nome Radio. Whoever would have thought? I just peeked up at the clock here, Peter. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to have to take a short break. I want to give out the phone numbers if anybody has got a question or comment on the gift of the divine will, Louisa Picaretta, or anything we're talking about. You can reach us at 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others, by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful. For it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now, your host Ken Johnston, and just a reminder to please pray for Sister Denise Haviland, a Dominican sister who is in the last stages of life. We had a note here asking for our prayer warriors to keep Sister Denise in your prayers, and also all the details for our golf outing to be held October 17th at Talamore Country Club in nearby Ambler, Pennsylvania, can be found on our website at inhissign.com if you scroll to the bottom of the homepage. Any questions or for more information about that outing, you can call Maureen here at 610-527-2906. You can also use that same phone number to call us. Any questions or comments? Want to get to the divine will that we talk about here on the last Wednesday of each month with Peter DePalma and often with guests that he brings along. So feel free to give us a call. So, Peter, before we went to the break, I was droning on about the rounds and this way of prayer and the idea that, you know, we can possibly see in our own lifetimes exactly how Adam lived and may have the opportunity to do so ourselves. But in praying these rounds and going back through creation and acknowledging every little thing that God created, it's just a beautiful thing. And I'll turn it over to you in one second. One other, I had a guest on a couple of weeks ago, a priest that wrote a book on holy silence. And in there, he said that we should be praying multiple times a day the Sanctus. So from Mass, it would be the Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. And, you know, we get in a routine and been going to Mass. I'm 62 years old, probably started going when I was 4 or 5. So close to 60 years anyway of going to church. And that one line never really made any difference in my spiritual life. And now I find myself repeating it multiple times a day. You know, heaven and earth are full of your glory. And it can be real hard sometimes to walk around this planet and say that. And yet, as believers and as witnesses to God's creation, you know, we don't have to look very far to see God's glory. And now, in praying around, to be able to give that glory back to Him by acknowledging it is, you know, a gift not only for us, but I think a gift for Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting here, Ken. The rounds, you know, really is for us, it's a new way of prayer. But yet it's really not new. In fact, it's the oldest form of prayer because it's what Adam and Eve did before their fall. And, you know, we have all kinds of indications of this also. Now, we can take one example of Pope John Paul II. At the canonization of St. Hannibal de Francia, and for those of you who don't know who St. Hannibal is, St. Hannibal was the spiritual director to Louisa Picaretta for 17 years. He gave the Nihil Obstat to the first 19 volumes, then he passed away. He was also the spiritual director to Melanie Calvert, the seer of Our Lady of La Salette, fully approved apparition of our Holy Church. And so what Pope John Paul II said at the canonization of St. Hannibal, he said, "There's coming a new and divine way of holiness." End quote. Now, again, there's that word new. So a lot of times people, you know, they start to freak out. They, oh, new, no, nothing new, nothing new. Well, it's new, but yet it's the oldest. And even Pope John Paul II said it. Jesus speaks about it the same way. It says new and divine way of holiness. And that could be also confirmed in the volumes, one of which, example, is volume 14, October 6, 1922. This is what Jesus says, quote, check as many lives of the saints as you want, or books of doctrine. In none of these will you find the prodigies of my will operating within the soul and of the soul operating in my will. At best, you will find resignation, union of wills, but in none of them will you find the divine will operating within it and my will operating within the soul. This means that the time had not yet come when my goodness was to call the soul to live in this sublime state. Even the very way I make you pray cannot be found in the lives of anyone else, end quote. So with that being said, we don't have to be apprehensive that this is a new and divine way of holiness. St. Pope John Paul II said it's coming. It's not coming now. It's here. And it's the rounds. It's going back to Adam. It's going, see, it's the divine will is the original plan of God. And he's taking us back to the original state that we had, to go back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God, the prelapsarian era of Adam. It's like quantum physics. It's like a, you know, the way they make a cartoon, there's thousands of pages that flip very, very fast. And they do that because it's easy too. They can make a motion, and they can also improvise and make corrections where you need it. Well, same thing here. God is going to page 4033, which is the moment just before Adam sinned. And he's bringing us back to that point. Back to that point, and he says it'll be as if Adam never sinned. Now, sounds outrageous. Do we believe that? If we don't believe that, then this whole book of heaven is a novel. And I don't know about you, I have no time for novels. God is saying, this is real, this is me. He says there's going to be very few in the beginning. Most are going to reject it, just like they rejected him. But in the end, all will come to understand the mighty Bible. In fact, Father Newsy, just on couple weeks ago on our program, said that all the souls in purgatory, all souls in purgatory are living in the divine will. God wants to give us that state of union now before we die. And he says, my pupils are fixed on you, because he has empathy for us, because he knows what we're going through in our humanity. He experienced it. He knows exactly what we're going through. And he appreciates the suffering. He appreciates the sacrifices. This is what really moves him. We're told we have to move God, right? We know that. And now through the Crossing the Exile program, we know now we must enchant God. Now, how can we do that? Well, God is going to take being moved, and he's going to bump it up a couple levels. We cannot do that. And all he's looking for is recognition. What does he want to be recognized as? Our Father. He wants clear state. He wants his paternity back. That's all he wants.
Amen. And, you know, there's a whole lot to learn in here. I think it can be, at least when I first got started, it was a little bit overwhelming. Thank God it took me a little while to find out how much material was actually out there and all the resources that are out there. And one of those resources is Peter's website. It's called queenofthedivinewill.org. It's queenofthedivinewill.org. And all these various programs that Peter runs with Father Iannuzzi and Father Celso, Mother Gabriel, and the Sisters of the Benedictine Sisters of the Divine Will, all those episodes are, you know, recorded and available both in video and just audio format. They're great to listen to in the car. Peter's actually invited me to be on one of his broadcast that we do now on Wednesday nights. So I'll get home from the radio and 7 o'clock tonight. We're doing a piece together on the exile, along with our good friend Maureen Lomini, when all three of us can get together. And you know, it's just something you could spend all of eternity studying and reading and praying and may not get it all. And I don't think we have to. That if we want to claim it, that we want to, if we want to live in this divine will that we requested of God, and we do the things that would normally be expected of us, right, Peter? We want to live in a state of grace, which means going to confession as often as we can, and you know, having that clean soul and make use of the sacraments, absolutely, you know, in terms of Holy Communion and confession, but to ask God for it, and that simple request, I think, is often enough to help us. For my friends that are in recovery that listen, you know, it was often for many of us, it was when we finally, you know, broke down and finally said, God, help us. And what do you know? He did. And so we need to ask him for this gift. And at the same time, there's plenty of tools that are out there. I've made the offer before, and we've actually had a few people that have joined us that listen. If you email me at ken@inhissign.com, that's my first name, ken@inhissign.com, I can provide the information for the daily cenacle that we have. It's 6 a.m. to 7:30, so I know when I first got started, I didn't think there was any way I was going to get up at 6 a.m. to participate, and find myself on there most mornings now, and even on Saturdays and Sundays now that we're praying the rounds. But it's just a great group of people that pray together, pray for one another, and read the Book of Heaven together, and you know, provide some of the insights that we get. Peter's got a whole host of programs that are available almost daily at this point, and you can get on his email list by sending him an email at maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org, I believe it is, Peter, right?
That's correct.
maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org, and get on Peter's mailing list, and he'll send you know, links to all the various programs throughout the week, as well as the links to the recordings once they've taken place. And so there's no lack of information that's available. You just have to find it and go get it. And that's the key. And once you have that desire, I think God will put everything in front of you that you need. And I know that's been my experience over the last 20 months, Peter.
That's spot on, Ken. You know, actually, I'd like even just to take a pause from the passages, because what you said is really, really important. You don't have to read, and again, please don't misunderstand me, you don't have to read all 36 volumes and everything that's out there before obtaining this gift. God gives this gift. This is a mystical gift. And mystical gifts are not given to us equally like our baptismal gifts are. They're given in God's good pleasure. He gives it to whom he wants to, when he wants to what extent he wants to. He says it's very easy to get started. Remember, there's three ways to live in this gift: imperfectly, perfectly, and completely. He says, if you're in the state of grace and you have a desire, an upright intention, meaning that you want to serve God, you will be granted this gift. You will get entrance. It's almost like a big house. He's allowing you into the foyer. But that's great, because now we have access to the whole house if we want to. We can stay in the foyer. We're going to starve, and there's no bathroom. There's nothing in the foyer. You want to explore. You want to unveil everything that's there. So God gives us this plethora of information, because it's going to take some souls 36 volumes to be convinced. It'll take other souls 10 volumes. St. Hannibal de Francia, a saint, was only alive to read the first 19 volumes, and he lived completely in the divine will. So again, we're not discouraging you. God, every time we read, we go further into our appreciation. And like you said, Ken, our desire increases. And when our desire increases, we want to then gain knowledge. And when we gain an additional knowledge, the knowledge increases desire. So it's like the gerbil wheel. It's going to continue until it gets ferocious, because this is everything. And God says that, but not everyone can see it. And that's okay. Don't get angry, because if someone doesn't respond to the gift, you know, I actually have empathy at times, but just pray. You know, our Lord gave us great advice. He gave the disciples great advice. Go into the home if they allow you in. Stay as long as you can. And if they reject you or your teachings or what you're saying, is just shake the sand from your sandals and move on. And that's exactly the divine will. In fact, St. Hannibal gives us great insight. He says, well, first of all, he founded two orders, and he, in his last several months of life, he says, basically, I'm not spending any time with my order. I've dedicated my entire life to the divine will. He made that statement. He also made a statement also that he reads from 2 to 3 passages a day. because he wants to be absorbed in it. He wants to be able to understand it beyond just recognizing the words. And that's where you really need grace. I mean, Father Nuzzi hit it on the head when he said, the divine will is very difficult to explain in words, but it's very easy to understand once we accept it. Now think about that. Once we accept it, God gives us the grace. We gave our fiat. What did he give Mary? He gave Mary everything. Mary said fiat and everything was done for her. We say fiat, God will give us the understanding when we need it, at what percentage we need it. It's all done for us. I mean, that doesn't mean we sit back in a lazy chair. But once we start to dive into this, God will feed us. Because he's a gratuitous giver, but he's a very frugal giver. He only wants to give it to those who are going to treasure this. Remember, wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart. So if we start to dive in and you start to get moved, I start to get moved, we then move God by our movement. And then the process begins. It's not difficult. It's available to everyone. In fact, Jesus says that. I don't know if I had that in front of me, but he says he made this available to all souls in all conditions, in all circumstances. Again, Ken said, state of grace, ardent desire. Well, that desire is going to increase as we increase in knowledge. Upright intention. We want this for God. And the fourth is he wants us to ask for this gift. He wants us to ask because he says in volume 27, November 6, 1929, my daughter, I am the center of all creation, but an isolated center. Everything surrounds me. Everything depends on me. But since irrational created things do not have reason, they do not provide me with sufficient company. End quote. We are to be the company of God through his creation. And that's done, like Ken said at the beginning, through the rounds. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful flower. Thank you, Lord, for this tree. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. Gratitude was Jesus' greatest pain on earth in his humanity. The lepers were a perfect example. We cannot be those 9 lepers.
Yeah, there was a reading I saw recently, and I'm not quite where you are where I can quote volume and date, but, you know, where Jesus is telling Louisa about the lack of gratitude and on everybody's part. And, you know, when you look around and realize, and I just remember when I first heard people use the phrase grateful recovering alcoholic, and I thought, how could anybody ever be grateful for having this disease? And it was because you're brought so low that you realize that you're forced to realize and accept that, you know, God is all. And without him, we can do nothing, absolutely nothing. And once we wake up to that fact, and you know, you have to be humbled in order for that to happen. And, you know, Father McCain, my good friend, always says, and I think it came from him, there's two kinds of people in the world, those that are humble and those that are about to be. And once you're humbled and realize that, you know, of ourselves we're nothing, and that everything, whether it's our breath or any of our senses, nothing of it happens without God. And once we realize that and become grateful for it, everything we do becomes a joy, because we know it's not our doing. It's all God's doing. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to face any more trials or tribulations, but when we have to face them, hopefully we recognize or realize that it's only so God can bring a greater good out of that. So whether it was Peter's accident that he described earlier, whether it was my surgeries that I had at the end of last year, beginning of this year, we had a caller in the 4 o'clock hour, Ryan, who was on his motorcycle and hit a deer. You know, whatever the circumstances are, God allows these things to happen, but only because he can bring a greater good from it. And so I think when we realize that, we even get to the point where we can be grateful for those trials and tribulations. And I can honestly say, up until a couple of years ago, I was never grateful for any of those trials that came. I would accept them, and I would do my best to handle them, and eventually probably ask for God's help. But now it's like, thank you, Jesus, bring it on, because you know, something great's going to come from this.
Yeah,
but
right.
you have to be open to it, and I think you have to experience it. And Jesus will spoon feed it to us until we get it. But once you do, the sky's the limit, right, Peter?
Right. Yeah, you have to be humiliated to be humbled. I find that to be true. Yeah, I mean, we can all take a litmus test right now. All the listeners, just think back and the what you consider the worst time of your life, the worst point of your life. And it may have been horrific. But then think, if God's permissible will did not allow that event to happen. Again, not God didn't will it, but he allowed it. If God didn't allow that to happen, would we be here today? Would we be speaking? Would we be listening? Would we be journeying in the divine will? I know myself, absolutely not. I had to go through everything that I experienced, all the ups and downs. And I'll tell my story one day, but I had to hit rock, but I had to go down on my face and then to look up. And the only thing I saw then was God. Because when I was upright and walking, I couldn't see God. I wasn't looking for him. I didn't bother to know where he was. So sometimes adversity, Jesus says, and this is another thing that's hard for some people to grasp. Jesus says, I have placed more grace in the cross than I have in my sacraments. End quote. Wow. If you're down, there's only one way up.
Yeah, no, but you mentioned Honorable de France and his, reading of Louise's The Passion. And Father McKay and I have been doing the Saints and Sinners show for over 7 years now. And, you know, one of the things that you look at the common themes that run amongst the saints and the things that they did and the devotions that they had. And so many of them, if not all of them, had some devotion to the Passion, whether it was Stations of the Cross or meditating on the Passion, meditating on the cross itself, that it in there lies, I think, the key to all this, that it was the cross that, you know, was the mousetrap for Satan and you know, opened up the gates of heaven to us and brought us so much that I don't even think we can fathom what all it has brought to us. And when we recognize that and see that this instrument of torture is what was needed in order to bring about the glory of God, it's almost, backwards. I know if I was designing the world and all of history and I had my fiat, it definitely would not have included, you know, putting my son on a cross. And yet God saw to it that that's what was necessary in order to not only redeem us like he did 2,000 years ago, but sanctify us like he's getting ready to do right now. We got just a couple minutes left, Peter. Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's good to reflect back on what Jesus talked about. He said everything that he gave us in the past has been seeds, a means in which to grow into this divine will. Let's take two specific circumstances that has been conveyed through the mystics. The saints in heaven, if they had a complaint — they don't have a complaint, but if they had a complaint, they would say that they wish they had more time on earth in which to suffer, because they realize the value of suffering. They realize how the cross brings us the closest we can possibly get to our blessed Lord. So that's one lesson we can learn. The souls in purgatory also conveyed another message to mystics. And they said if they had to do it all over again, they would have made better use of the time while on earth. Get rid of that frivolous stuff. Only focus on what's important. Yes, of course, we have responsibilities. I think those two points there, suffering and making better use of time, I think those are two things we can all improve on. And it's going to draw us closer to the divine will.
And you know what? I just from my own experience, you'll find that, at least I've found that, you actually find yourself doing things that they're not bad things, but they're not the best things. And whether I'm being convicted by the Spirit or by my own self or however it's happening, you'll find that as time goes on, that you keep getting drawn back into things like doing the rounds or praying the hours of the Passion or praying the rosary in the divine will. Yep. That the other thing just doesn't bring you the joy that these things do. And so, just take it a leap of faith. And again, just a quick reminder, email me at ken@inhissign.com if you're interested in learning more about this Divine Will Cenacle that we have on every day of the week now, starting at 6 a.m. Also, email Peter to get on his email list. We're hoping to hear that we're going to have another retreat at Malvern next year, if not two retreats, just because of the success of the one that they had last year and the demand, over 425 people that wanted to attend, and I think eventually they just stopped putting names on the waiting list. So, Peter, once again on this last Wednesday of the month, brother, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule. If you saw all the podcasts and shows that Peter hosts on his own Mary's Hill, you'd be amazed. And again, we mentioned earlier, and I'll repeat it just because it was pretty cool on Saturday to be broadcasting over Catholic radio in Nome, Alaska, the oldest Catholic radio station in the country. And to find out that the folks in Nome were actually interested in learning more about Louisa Picaretta and the gift of the divine will was pretty cool. So I felt privileged to be able to participate. So thanks again, Peter. We'll look forward to having you back on In His Sign the end of September. And I'll be talking to you again in about an hour, pal.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, In His Sign. And thank you, God, above all, for everything. This is everything. And I think we're all going to realize that eventually. Okay, love everyone.
All right. Thanks, Peter. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Ken.
All righty. For our listeners, thank you again for all that you do for us here.